Environmental authorities in South Florida are asking if they've been making critical decisions based on flawed science. Those decisions may affect the future of the endangered Florida panther. So far, one biologist has lost his job, and another is fighting to save his reputation. NPR's Ari Shapiro visited the home territory of the panther affected by the debate.
This is indisputably panther habitat. The Florida Panther National Wildlife Refuge, more than 26,000 acres of undisturbed native land in southwest Florida. Well, almost undisturbed. Panther 1 is an old swamp buggy that looks like something out of a monster truck rally. It likes to break down and get stuck in the mud.
We had a wheel fall off of one the other day.
Despite its shortcomings, refuge manager Lane Hamilton says it's the best way to get around in panther country.
Unfortunately, the way the refuge is, it's mostly a swamp, and consequently we need specialized equipment to get out here.
It's hard to imagine sneaking up on a panther in a cacophonous, smoke-belching vehicle like this. Instead, Hamilton is looking for tracks, markings to indicate that some of the refuge's resident Florida panthers have passed this spot recently. Soon, Hamilton spots something even better than paw prints.
This is an armadillo that's been eaten by a panther.
It's an empty shell lying by the side of the trail.
Armadillos are locally referred to as possum on the half shell. And what a panther will do is they'll flip them over, put their foot on the tail, and just rip them out like you would a lobster.
This federal preserve is a great place for panthers. There's shelter, food, and water. The public isn't allowed here. There are only about 87 Florida panthers left in the world today. But each cat has a range of hundreds of miles, which means they often leave the protection of public lands and wander into one of the hottest real estate markets in the country. When a landowner wants to build in South Florida, someone has to decide whether or not the project will harm the panthers. And for the past 10 years, those decisions have been based almost entirely on one hugely important study, a paper considered the seminal document about panther habitat, period.
My name is Dave Mayer. I'm an associate professor in the Department of Forestry at the University of Kentucky.
Mayer wrote that seminal study. He concluded that panthers live on large swatches of heavily forested land, and he still defends his conclusions.
I think forests are the absolute key to maintaining current numbers and reproduction in this population, but also in planning for the future of expanding this population into other parts of South Florida.
But many biologists now believe that Mayer reached his conclusions using bad science. They say that while panthers may spend the day sleeping in heavily wooded areas, they travel through agricultural fields and small patches of forest at night. And these scientists fear that because of faulty science, golf courses and apartment complexes have been built on what was once prime habitat for one of the most endangered big cats in the world. Paul Beyer is a wildlife ecology professor at Northern Arizona University's School of Forestry. And 2 years ago, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service asked Beyer to go over all of the existing panther research as part of a scientific review team.
At the time, you know, I even asked, why are we having this review? Is there some controversies we ought to know about? Basically, their response was, there are some controversies, but it's better that you don't know about them. Just, you know, let the literature speak for itself. And if you see some things that don't smell right, let us know.
He says what they found was a scientific house of cards built on one flawed study. That study was the paper David Mayer published 10 years ago.
I certainly don't think that there was any intent to deceive or to do bad science, but I would say it's likely that indeed some poor decisions have been made.
The South Florida Office of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service issued nearly all of the permits in panther habitat over the last 10 years. Spokesman Bert Byers says it's too late to talk about whether past decisions were right or wrong. But today, he says, his agency uses the best science available to evaluate panther habitat. That includes elements of Dave Mayer's discredited paper, just not the flawed parts.
Because we refer to a particular document, it does not mean that we take the entire document with a broad paintbrush and accept it as the gospel for panthers. And as we learn these new things, we incorporate them into our permitting process so that we have the very latest information taken into consideration when we make our decisions.
Until recently, Andrew Eller was the man writing many of those decisions as a biologist for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. He believes some of Fish and Wildlife's decisions were definitely wrong, but he says it goes even farther than that. Eller says the agency is permitting projects even when they know the construction will harm panthers. He says the quarry where he's standing now was once panther habitat, and he says he was forced to give the go-ahead for another mine, even though there was evidence that panthers were using the land.
I was told under threat of insubordination to include information in the biological opinion that essentially said we had a surplus of panthers and that we didn't need to be concerned about the cumulative effects of long-term development.
Eller took the issue to higher-ups in the Fish and Wildlife Service. A Florida judge later agreed that the project would harm panthers, and the court halted construction on the mine. Even so, Eller was fired. He sees himself as a whistleblower. Agency spokesman Bert Byers says,
"That is absolutely not the case. The case is that Andy Eller was fired for performance factors."
Byers says Eller was late submitting his work. Eller contends that everybody at the office was late finishing their work because the office was understaffed. He's appealing his dismissal. Eller still has a copy of the memo telling him to change the panther population numbers so that construction on the mine could go ahead. He says the woman who insisted he make the changes was his supervisor at the time, Linda Farrell. Linda Farrell took a voluntary demotion within the agency after Eller was fired. She would not speak with NPR on the record, but Eller says Linda Farrell plans to testify on his behalf when he appeals his dismissal. Eller believes that she requested a change of position because higher-ups were coercing her to fudge the numbers as well. Agency spokesman Bert Byers says these are all conspiracy theories.
I just believe, as strongly as I can say it, is that if he had that experience, other biologists would have that experience, and this would be more than just one person rising up against management. That would be, more people would say, well, I had that happen to me too, and I had that happen to me too, and it's simply not happening.
Eller believes that people are not speaking for fear that they too will be fired. Someone still employed at the office who asked not to be named confirmed that fear. In the meantime, nearly 1,000 new people move to Florida every day, and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is still making the decisions about how they're going to coexist with the 87 remaining Florida panthers. Ari Shapiro, NPR News, Miami.